As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
Okay, so normally I try to come up with some sort of line whenever we have a guest coming on and I introduce them, but this is perfect because Sammy Silber is joining us, and Vic's probably saying, where am I going with this? Just hold on. Hockey News, and she covers the Capitals. She's in the fast lane right now, and Alex Ovechkin has been in the fast lane since he debuted in the NHL. 895 on the weekend. I know that wasn't very good, but it doesn't matter. 895 on the weekend.
It was fine enough.
Okay. Sammy Silber joining us here again on the show. Great to have you, Sammy. Appreciate this. I know you're on your way to practice, so we're going to get this thing done. We'll talk Capitals as a team in general. Go 77 seconds in with you as well. But let's begin again with the whole Ovi thing. Before we get to the record, 895, I want to go back to the tying game where he did tie Gretzky with 894. You happened to witness that. So take us into that. And again, was it basically for you, okay, the next game is going to get this thing or the next week? Because it was only a matter of time.
Yeah, I think when we all walked in against Chicago, we kind of knew that something, he was going to do something, you know. And he scored, I think, like 3 minutes into that game.
Right.
And I was like, okay. I was like, you know, like, all right. Like, he's, you know, cause, I mean, Dylan Strom said it best, when he scores once, he scores in bunches, he tends to.
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, it's the third period, and then they go this power play, and you kind of know at that point, you know, once you see him line up in the circle and that pass go over, you're like, holy moly, you know, I mean, he's going to do it. And so seeing that was just unbelievable. You know, just it was a huge weight off his shoulders at that minute.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you could talk about, you know, the next one or whatever, but to tie him and finally match him and to be like, you know, hey, no longer, you know, chasing, technically, you know, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
It was huge, and you saw, you know, everybody freak out, the bench went crazy, and you know, the beers in the locker room after,
right.
And Ovi, you know, picks up and takes a, you know, swig of a Bud Light after too, and you know, before his presser, and it was just incredible, and being there, you know, with Wayne Gretzky obviously in the building too is awesome. And I think we were all kind of expecting, you know, we wouldn't be surprised if we saw a hat trick, you know,
mm-hmm.
like how much, you know, storybook would that be? And the net's empty, but you see him kind of like shake his head and you're like, all right, he's not going to.
I thought that was, Sammy, I thought that that was great. I really did.
I thought it was cool too.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool too.
Yeah.
I also wish I was that talented. I could turn down empty net goal because I know I'll just get one. I know I'll get one the right way, you know. I can't score worth anything, so I'll take all the empty nets I can get. But it, you know, and then you saw him in the last minute, you know, Ebbe was like on their feet, you know, nobody was going to clear the press box because he's still like firing, you know, shot after shot at Spencer Knight, and everybody's like, you know, booing him as he's saving it. But you knew it was going to happen next game. You just knew, like, there was no slowing him down at that point, and he just wanted to get it done, and he has such talent that he's able to literally score at will, which is crazy. And once Sandin was tripped in the corner, I'm like, okay, it's gonna happen now.
Yeah.
It was just awesome. It was awesome to witness as somebody who grew up a Caps fan, and then, you know, has gotten to cover him and, you know, get to know a little bit more about him over the past 8 years. It was incredible to see.
I think all of us on the Sunday afternoon when he turned down the opportunity for the empty netter. It's funny, even Gretzky said, I took all the empty netter opportunities I was afforded. And we all should too, but he didn't want to go out that way. He didn't want to break it that way. Full respect. But I think all of us watching on Sunday afternoon when Casey Cizikas took that tripping penalty, we knew, you know, like I said earlier, I didn't go to the bathroom at that point because you just knew that something was going to happen in the next couple of minutes. And you have covered this team intimately for a long time. You're closer than anybody else we're talking to. So are you surprised by all the attention when he finally did break it on the Sunday that he didn't even receive just from the hockey community, because obviously we're all in, but from outside other sports figures like LeBron and Katie Ledecky and Michael Phelps and different athletes with different sports. They're all Tom Brady, like everyone's shout outs are coming from. Were you surprised by that? The attention this has received?
No, over the past, you know, few weeks, I've gotten to make so many new friends because the media circus here has been crazy, you know, and there's been so many people and I'm like, who are these people? You know? And that's why, you know, you kind of take a step back when you get home from the rink and you realize that it really is bigger than anything, you know, and he's a larger than life guy. And he's earned so much recognition, not just because of the accomplishment, but because of who he is. I mean, you look at him and, you know, he's a fun loving guy. And, you know, he's missing the tooth and he's, you know, 6'3", 238 pounds, and, you know, throwing his weight around, he'll hit anybody in his way. And he is greatness. He just exemplifies greatness in such a way that it commands respect from the sports community. So to see, you know, local, you know, talent like, you know, Michael Phelps, Katie Ledecky, you know, those people, you know, shout out, but then, you know, also like LeBron and Tom Brady and Simone Biles, I thought was really cool because, you know, my mom was a gymnast and we both love gymnastics. Mm-hmm. So to see Simone Biles even check it out was awesome. But I mean, he commands that respect. So I wasn't surprised, but it was awesome.
When he scored that goal, Tom Wilson gave him fed him that pass, and he was in his office. And I was saying to Vic too yesterday that if you watch that ISO cam of Ovechkin when he did break the record, you know, the puck was going back into their zone, and then he was at the top of the boards and just kind of waiting, not even moving, but he knew. He just was waiting for that split second. Then when that break did come to Wilson, he took off, went to his office, scored. Going back to Gretzky when he broke Gordie Howe's record, Marty McSorley passed him the puck. Kind of the same kind of thing from the near boards to the far, Gretzky scored. I want to talk about the reaction, the celly, because Gretzky, you know, raised the stick up and did what he did. I, to me, feel that celebration by Ovechkin, I don't know, maybe you know this, was it planned? I don't know. But that, to me, will go down in history as one of the greatest cellies that I've ever seen. And it's a typical, typical, typical Ovechkin.
He said, you know, ice was bad, so that's why, you know, I slid. And I'm like, no, like, I think at that point, I mean, think about it, like, you're 39 years old, you broke your leg this season, you come back, and you still score 42 goals, and you accomplish something like that, I wouldn't know what to do with myself, and I don't I don't think he really knew what to do either, and you've seen, you know, Ovi, the belly, you know, Superman belly slide isn't new, you know, it really resembled what he did in the fountain during, you know, his awesome summer. I don't want to call it a bender, but this epic celebration, you know what I mean?
Like, summer of Ovechkin.
It was something.
The summer of Ovi. And so I think, you know, things flash through his mind and he just doesn't know what to do. And he just wants to celebrate too with his team. So he slides into history, you know, slides to center ice and
perfect.
His teammates, you know, flood off the bench and grab him from there. Yeah, I wouldn't know what to do with myself.
I wouldn't either.
I'm guessing that's what it was. But he was like, oh, the ice was bad. I'm like, no, like, I think you just, you know, didn't know what to do, but it's okay.
It was a decent improvisation, no matter how you frame it, though. It worked out very, very well. Great visual. We're going to remember that in our brains visually for a very long time. All right, moving on from Ovechkin now. Super cool what we've witnessed, you know, in the last, all season, really. But let's look at the Capitals now. They're obviously in the driver's seat. There's no concern about, you know, getting into the postseason. I mean, the best team in the league. However, despite all the success that they've enjoyed this season, matters have been a little bit more wobbly of late.
Yep.
Why do you think that is? And how do they maybe turn it around in time for the postseason? Because it's been a little iffy recent days.
Yeah, I think when you look at the season, you go through ups and flows and ups and downs. And,
sure.
You know, even if you're a good team, I think you hit that wall eventually. And I think for the Caps, it unfortunately comes at the end of the season, because you look at, you know, the way they've been able to maintain that success. And, you know, as you get closer to playoff time and the body, you know, the season's wearing on you a little bit. And, and all the while, I mean, you know, I don't care what you say. I mean, a record like Ovi's does weigh on you. Like,
sure.
You're human. So it's going to weigh on you, and it's going to take its toll. And I think the group was feeling it, you know, these last few games, as, you know, you just want to get it done. And then all the while you're dealing with the regular ebbs and flows of the season and the wear and tear. And then you're also dealing with, at the same time, you know, obviously losing Thompson doesn't help. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you see, let's say Protas, you lose him in a big game, there, and then, you know, you'll have him against New York and he does so much for you. There's just like a lot of different things that contribute. And then, you know, you're trying to get to the finish line of the regular season, focus on playoffs, and it's normal. It happens. We see goals like this. It's, the Caps are not the first team to experience it, and they won't be the last. So I think you see a bunch of different factors kind of playing in.
So not a huge level of concern, not a high one.
I wouldn't say so. I mean, okay. You look at Montreal though, and that's a little concern for a first round opponent if things play out that way. But otherwise, no. The Caps don't panic. I have not seen them panic once.
Good. Tom Wilson is, and this is with all due respect, because based on the way the game is played now, if he wasn't, I'll say he's a goal scorer. Why not? He's a tough guy goal scorer. Let's just say that. So if he didn't put the puck in the net, if he wasn't creative, if he didn't bring all the other intangibles to the game outside of dropping the gloves and sticking up for his teammates, he may not have a job in this day and age of the league because things have changed. But he's different. He scores, he fights, he does everything possible to win a hockey game. How important is a Tom Wilson to not just the Capitals, but to any of the 32 teams? Any team would love to have him, Sam.
Tom Wilson is everything to the Washington Capitals. I think you look at a guy who sets the tone. I mean, you look at Ovi and then you look at Tom.
Sure.
It's the way he carries himself, the way he comes to the rink every day ready to work. And it's amazing to see how he's been able to develop his game over the years. Yeah, he still drops the gloves and he still agitates and he still does that job and he plays that role beautifully. But at the same time, he doesn't, you know, lack other talent, you know.
Sure.
He can get to the net. He has a wicked shot. Mm-hmm. He makes plays. You saw him make that, you know, great pass to O for the record-breaking goal. It's... He can do it all, and he, you know, he kills penalties. He sets the tone. You know, if his team's, you know, maybe not coming out of the gate with the most speed, he's the first guy to throw a big hit to pull them into the fight. You know, so I think Tom Wilson's importance to the group is huge on the ice, but off the ice too. I mean, his voice carries. You know, when he speaks, they listen. And it's been awesome to see how he's been able to develop into a leader and just a guy who, you know, his energy is contagious. You know, his work ethic is huge, and the team rallies around him. And if you talk to all of his teammates, they adore him, you know, and that's usually how it goes. You know, it's the guys you hate to play against that make the best teammates. So it's been awesome to see.
You mentioned the injury to Logan Thompson earlier, and Alexi Protas as well is out for actually week to week. Here I am being negative again. I don't know why I get all the
negative. Come on, Victoria.
What is the level of concern now during through the postseason? Because they want a long run. Winning one series isn't going to suffice for this team. I don't think they're not going to be satisfied. So without their number one goaltender and without one of their better forwards up front, top six forward in Alexi Protas, what is the level of concern there? And when do you think they're going to be back?
Yeah, I think I would hope Thompson's going to be back sooner rather than later. I'm not sure exactly what the injury is. I know it's upper body, but we didn't really get a day-to-day, week-to-week timeline yet. I mean, again, that could change today. We could talk to Carberry today, and he could give us a whole new timeline, right? But, you know, hopefully it's not as serious there, and hopefully just, you know, hopefully it does him some good, too, because it just gets you some rest, you know, ahead of playoffs, and then you can come back fresh and you know, play those games at the top of your game. For Protas, I think it might be a little bit longer here. He's in a boot. It was a skate cut, and it didn't look pretty. You know, when you watch the replay, it looked you know, very not fun. So I think Protas is going to be a little bit longer. But like, you know, week to week can mean anything. You know, week to week can mean 2 weeks. Week to week can mean 6 weeks. You know, so love those NHL timelines. So
we all do.
We all do. So yeah, I mean, is that concerning? Absolutely. I mean, Protas plays such a big role. You know, he kills penalties. He's a top six guy. He can score, and he's, you know, probably been one of the biggest reasons for a team's success this season. You could say the same thing with Logan Thompson. But what's been cool about the Caps is, you know, how tight knit they are, and how, you know, they're able to step in for one another, and they find ways to win, you know, if things aren't going their way or they don't have the full lineup, they find ways to get it done. I mean, you saw when Ovi broke his leg, right? You know, different people step up. So
they all rallied around. Yeah. Yep.
They rally around. So, yeah.
Who could be, we talked about all the stars on the team, Ovi and Tom Wilson and Protas. And I mean, go down the list defensively in goal. There's always that one, let's say Washington goes on a deep run. There's always that one player on the team that's kind of like the X factor that has a great few series that you may not have thought he would have been such a huge impactful player for. Is there someone on the team that you kind of are looking at thinking, hey, when these guys get in, this could be somebody that maybe at the end of it all could be, hey, you know what? He was part of this team. He was maybe an X factor for the Capitals' success.
Yeah, I think you saw it in 2018 too. It was like, you know, back then, you know, it wasn't just Ovi or Uzi or, you know, they're regular top guys. You know, it was like Devontae Smith-Pelly was a huge part of that run. Brett Connolly was a huge part of that run.
Right.
So, yeah. So, and you look, you know, down the roster and you see, you know, Strome obviously is going to play a big role. Chychrun, you know, is going to play a big role. But, you know, I think Connor McMichael will pick it up down the stretch here. But, you know, I'm going to go with Andrew Mangiapane. Okay. I think he's been picking it up toward the end of the season, and has he put up the production that the Caps necessarily wanted to see from him so far? Maybe not, but I think, you know, you look at the role he plays on the bottom six and how he's been able to turn that around, and you know, how you know, somewhat quietly he's, you know, making noise and able to score, and he has a wicked shot and great playmaking sense. I mean, he, you know, have one of the assists on 894, right? So I think he's the guy to definitely look out for down the stretch. He's fast. He can do a lot of damage when he's at the top of his game. So I'm going to go with Mangiapane.
Okay.
That's a dark horse. That's not who I would have expected. Yeah. Look back on the tape to see how well, especially if he comes and flourishes.
Yeah.
You're going to get your credit for that.
I think so.
We'll see. Washington has been dominant all season. I mean, the best team in the East. No real legs. Why are they ninth in odds to win the Stanley Cup? Why are there eight other teams that have, you know, better odds? Explain the disrespect to me. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, I don't. The sports betting world is such a parallel universe. I just don't get it, you know. But I think you looked at the Caps going into the season, and a lot of people, you know, slept on that team. You know, I think when I heard Logan Thompson's name called over the Sphere, you know, because when you're at the Sphere covering the draft and you know, they break trades in a very Hunger Games style where they just
right.
they just shout out over the loudspeaker.
It's a good way to put it.
It was weird. Like, the voices that be, like, you know, the game makers, I don't even know, like, shout over the speakers, you know, the latest trades. And I heard the Caps, you know, had acquired Logan Thompson. And I was like, okay, like, this team's going to be good. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know why nobody thinks they're going to be good. Like, they're going to be good. Like, they're making moves. And I think it just translates back to the start of the season. You know, I think they looked at the group and they saw what they did last year and, you know, it was a sweep and they barely stuck into the playoffs, and you take that into account. And then you look at factors like, oh, Ovi's, you know, 39. Is he going to be able to keep the pace? And, so I think a lot of the disrespect comes from there, you know, of hey, there's outside factors and maybe we don't take this team as seriously. And, you know, you can scream till you're blue in the face, you know, oh, but they won the Metro and they're doing this and they're doing that. But, like, you know, it's the odds makers don't care. I think they look at scenarios and they go off that. So it's weird to me too. You're not the only one.
Remember when they were a minus 37 last year? Remember that?
I do remember that.
And now
make t-shirts with that.
Yeah. And now they're a plus 66. That's a nice,
quite a
nice
swing.
Change.
Oh, yeah.
Quite a swing.
Speaking of numbers, let's go 77 seconds in with you again. You're on your way to practice. So we'll wrap this thing up. Here we go. Does a current NHL player eventually beat Alex Ovechkin's record?
No.
Simple and to the point.
Yep.
Yeah, no.
In covering this run, Ovi's record-breaking run, who is another player, past or present, that's one of your favorite interviews when you've been talking to everybody about it?
Oh, man. Jose Theodore was awesome.
Good one.
I grew up a huge Jose Theodore fan, and I was trying so hard to get an interview with him, and he's a hard guy to track down these days.
Yeah.
And so I had to go through, like, all these different, I know the 77 seconds, but I had to go, like, through, like,
time.
I had to go, like, through all these, like, different, like, agents and, like, tracking down. And, you know, I finally got his email and I emailed him and he emailed back, you know, like, sounds great, whatever. And then I was like, okay, let's set up. And I didn't hear anything. And, like, you know, 9-year-old Sammy looking back, like, whooping, like, crushed.
Yeah.
You know, she was like, you know, where is he? You know, this, like, devastating. And I was, like, really bummed for a couple of days. And my mom was like, you know, she's like, who needs Jose anyway? I was like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, like, we don't, whatever. And so I get, like, this call from this, like, collect call number. And I'm like, God, like, who now? And I'm like, you know, I'm thinking it's, like, you know, Discover card or something. I'm like,
sure.
And I'm like, hello, like, annoyed. And he's like, hey, it's Jose. And I'm like, oh, my God, like, hey, like. Like, what's up, man? And he's like, oh, look, I'm so sorry. I was at, like, a golf tournament. And I'm like, don't apologize.
Yeah.
And then, like, I don't know. It's just crazy. He was my childhood hero. He was cool. And he's a pilot now. So this guy just has.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he just lives a crazy life. He's just, he was driving during our whole interview.
Amazing.
And he was like, I'm on my way to go fly. And I'm like, sure. I'm like, why not?
I loved,
so that was cool.
I loved watching him play. I loved too, especially when he wore the toque in the outdoor game over the, that to me was the, that got me. A few more to go. Any chance Ovi hits 1,000 goals?
Any chance.
Anything's possible.
Okay.
And I wouldn't put it past him.
Okay.
Oshie told me a couple of years ago, never bet against the big man.
Mm,
so
well said.
I won't start now.
Okay.
Smart. You sort of went over this, but we'll just hammer it really quickly. A key performer for the Caps in the playoffs. One key performer.
Mangiapane, but
right.
I'll go back and I'll say Brandon Duhame.
Okay. I'm going to write these things down. We're going to have you on. We're going to keep
Duhame.
Track. Yeah, we're keeping.
Dewey's going to make noise.
Okay.
I don't know how, but he'll do something that will make noise.
Okay. Even if it's a tiny bit, it's something.
Even if it's, I'm putting my chips with Dewey.
Okay. Cup favorite in the West?
Minnesota.
Really?
I love that answer.
That's gutsy. Yeah. Okay.
That is a very gutsy answer.
Yeah. Minnesota.
So you've already sort of answered this, but maybe there's another one. Do you think there's a wild card upset possible? Either conference?
Minnesota would
be one. Do you think there's another?
Minnesota might be one. I mean, you're seeing Montreal kind of run away in the East, and I think Minnesota's done a pretty good job in the West too. So, maybe St. Louis if it can keep going here. But yeah.
The wild cards are running. They're riding in hot, man. I'm
trying to memorize the standings from last night because I looked at them and then I just forgot everything because, I fell asleep at 3 and didn't do my homework.
Right.
I'll just go Minnesota again.
All right.
Two more, and I'm throwing this one in. It's not on the list. What's your connection with the California Golden Seals?
Oh, yeah, that was cool. When I was in college, I, asked to, work on a movie. I just wanted to, help out in any way I could. And the guy actually emailed me back and had me do some, Photoshop work for him. And I did it with the graphics, and I got credited in the movie, and they sent me a free T-shirt. And, So that's my connection. It's weird. Yeah, it's weird, but I'll always have that. Yeah, that was my first movie credit. So that was pretty cool.
That is very cool. Very last one. Who has more penalty minutes per game, Tom Wilson or you this season?
Oh, we know the answer. It's me.
Yes, we do.
It's me. Yeah.
What are you doing out there?
She's a goon. Absolute goon.
I'm a goon. Yeah. No, I try to stick up for my teammates. I've had a couple guys who, we won the championship in the summer, and I think there was still some bad blood that poured over. And, we have some bitter rivalries, and people think, they can push some of our guys around. And, shout out to my co-captain, James Ortman. He just moved to Minnesota, so I'm, devastated. But he, he got pushed in the crease, in front of the crease, one game, and I didn't like that. So I took exception and kind of, threw my weight around. Another one of my teammates got punched in the face, and, I had to go and take exception to that. I stick up for my guys. I wear the C, and, you got to stick up, when you can. And then other times I can't shut my mouth, and that'll get me in trouble. I yap a lot and I talk a lot.
Oh, I hear you.
And my teammates, shout out Garrett Suter, another one of my teammates. He's like, Sammy, stop, just stop. And he'll go crazy, and he'll talk to me, he gives me a look of a stern dad, what I mean? He'll look at me and be like, Sammy, and he'll calm me down. But my mom, she was she's like, Tom Wilson knows his limit and when to shut his mouth. I'm like, yeah. And she goes, yeah, you can do that too. Stop. I'm like, because I was telling her, I lead the division. She's like, am I supposed to be proud of that? I'm like, probably not. So me for sure.
That's great.
Sammy Silber, a great writer, a great reporter, and a goon and a trash talker as well. thank you for this, Sammy. And I know that we're going to talk to you sooner than later based on the Capitals and where they're going. And hopefully there's going to be a great run. So thanks again for doing this. Always fun.
Thanks, Sammy.
Thank you, guys.
This has been Pucks in 7, available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.